Hi, I'm Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. This podcast is part of the Reality Shift series, where my husband Del Piper and I discuss ideas that we hope will bring you inspiration and a new perspective on who you are and where you live in space and time. In this podcast, we discuss the third step in the shift, understanding signs and symbols. What are they? How do they affect us? Should we follow them? Should we ignore them? It begins with the idea of understanding. What is that? In this episode, you just might find some answers to questions you have, or the question that fits an answer you already know. Come with me, and we will shift the story together. This call is the first of a few calls where we're going to focus on the third step in our seven-step shift, understanding signs and symbols. So perhaps I should do the seven steps first?
Yeah, do the seven steps here.
Okay, so the first step in our seven-step shift, which is really the process that we take to get from thinking of the small R reality to the big R reality, and it can be mixed up, but usually the process is first you go to be willing first. Then the second one is to become aware. The third one is understand signs and symbols. Then we learn perception rules. Then we choose to shift to spiritual perception. Then we walk as one, or practice what we preach, depending on how you say it. And the last one is to celebrate with gratitude. So we have Del's doing understanding signs and symbols, because it's such a huge, important part of shifting to reality. So, hi, Del.
Hello.
Okay, so my first question is, what is the comma doing after the word understanding? So it's understanding, comma, signs and symbols. Why did you put that comma in there?
Because understanding is a quality of God, and being a quality of God, you have to understand what understanding is.
Oh, that sounds deep.
Well, it is deep. That's the thing. Now, understanding can have different levels. You can understand something from a very small point of view, from a limited human sense point of view, and the only thing it does is kind of help you to understand the particular place you're in. But then there's pure understanding, which is that ultimate being and standing, what is the truth in one mind being there. That's pure understanding, which eliminates all the other things, all the beliefs and the ignorance and the strife and stress of human sense.
So in a way, if we could just pop over to the big R reality, we'd be understanding itself.
It is. It is like that shifting from that small I point of view to the one I, the one all point of view. And when we have that limited understanding, it is. It feels like a process. And you know, as you get more understanding, you lift yourself out of that limited point of view, and by gaining that little bit more of understanding, you can improve things, improve by themselves without that effort of attempting and trying and working and struggling and striving to improve it. Just by understanding more of what is the truth of being, that becomes that starts to eliminate itself and dissolve.
So we're really just practicing at this point, because we think we're human, and we're moving to that pure awareness of understanding, but we go through a process because we think we're human.
Yes, it looks like a process. Now, the only place it looks like a process, the only place it feels like a process, is in the human sense of things, from that point of view. It's necessary and absolutely required that we start from the truth of there is only one. It is all completely perfect, right now, right here. Always has been, always will be. We start with that as the premise, and then we go from that place. And then as we work on different things and start and study and practice, which is what science is about, The science of being is studying and practicing what is the science of being. And we have to do that from an understanding point of view, a pure understanding.
So you said that there's a process when we think we're human.
Yes.
So you talk about the process being going from belief to through faith to understanding, and part of that is through signs and symbols.
Yes. And again, the signs and symbols are needed from that place that looks like a belief system, from a human sense, from a human mind, from what the Chinese call the stirring, wandering mind. From that place, it looks like there's something that we have to do. There's a struggle. There's work to be done, understanding to be gotten so we can get out of that particular place, that limited point of view. And it looks like it goes through a process of belief to faith to understanding. That's just an appearance. It's only the dissolving of that stuff. So actually, if we look at the signs and symbols of birth, the Chinese call birth, they look at it symbolically and say birth is that purity, that clarity of thought. And it's more open and able to see more of what is true. Now, if we look at that and say, so it's kind of like we start from there, that pure point of view, because you think of a child, they're willing to do pretty much anything. So that there we go back to the whole seven-step process in the shift, which is willing.
Right.
They're willing to try anything. They've got a very open mind. They're very clear about things. They're very innocent.
And aware.
So it isn't becoming aware. They usually pretty much are aware, and they understand things. And then look at what happens to a child. You think of a baby sitting in a high chair, and you're feeding it baby food. And what happens to a baby when you try to feed it something it doesn't want?
Well, let's see. It either spits it back out, or purses its lips and crosses its arms, or screams loudly, or moves its head, all sorts of kinds
yes.
of things. Says no, basically.
And then we attempt to make it, but, you know, sometimes we'll go, well, okay, it doesn't like that, so there's no point in trying to go there with it. But it knows what it wants. So
yeah.
That's something to be aware of. It's a symbol of something. I mean, here's something that knows what it wants, and you're trying to spoon-feed it something else. And then we spoon-feed it other things. Now, if you take that symbol deeper into the idea of a state of mind and how we think, we start spoon-feeding it things about the world is substance, the physical, the objects, the things you see out there are the substance. We start feeding them that. I don't believe they come in with that. So we start putting that belief system onto them. And then we take them, then we put them into a box, literally put them into a box, not only in a state of mind box, but, I mean, literally in a box. We put them in a square room and make them line up in desk and sit down. And then we start spoon-feeding him all this stuff and say, this is the way it is. And you go through that process of that. So when you come out of it, you have this whole belief system, and it's based on external things.
And it's a belief system, not just what you're referring to most schools, but not just that, but the belief system that each of us have about heredity and what family we were born into, and whether we're wealthy or whether we're poor or whether we're a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
So genetics, all kinds of boxes that we get put into.
Yeah.
But usually not out of malice. It's just we think that we're doing the best thing.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we look at it. When we think of ourselves, did we give people consent to do that to us? And it's like Don Juan talks about looking at us like we're raised as food. Our awareness is consumed by these belief systems. So the awareness gets less and less, or it gets more limited and put into boxes. You have a belief system for home, for work, for family, for relationships. There's belief systems. And then within the context of that belief system in that box, there's always the opposites going on because it's a package deal. It is just like being boxed up in a package. And what comes with that package is cycles and opposites,
yeah,
duality.
You were saying something about a zip line. I like that idea of the zip line inside the box.
Yeah, because we have we have what looks like there's good things that go on and there's bad things that go on. So there's always this conflict. So we're always attempting to make it the best we can. And there's always certain situations that come up that where we instantly are in the what looks like the bad part of it. So it's kind of like a zip line. You're zoom, you're over here, oh, it's good now, and then zip, you're over here where it's not so good. And you're always experiencing it. So there's always a conflict, it seems like, within the context of that particular box.
Yeah.
And then moving from that idea of the box, we might poke our head out of that box once in a while and go, there's got to be more. We might ask a question, or something might occur that gets us to ask a question or to think about something differently than what we've thought of before within the context of that box.
Well, you know, as you're talking about the box, I think about the box as kind of like the padded room. You know, we're insane inside of a padded room, going zipping back and forth, bouncing off of walls inside the real padded room of the boxes. But you, what you're saying about wanting to know, is there more? And just the other day, someone asked us, how did we find meaning in our life? So there, when you start saying, isn't there more than what I see inside this box? Then you're in the beginning of that be willing stage, aren't you?
Yeah. And that is the thing. You are willing. I really think little kids are very willing. Like I said before, we're kind of born with that natural, I'm willing. I'm willing to try pretty much anything. Once in a while you see somebody that might not be. For the most part, yes, very willing and want to. Mm-hmm. Want to explore and turn things over and check things out. And so it becomes kind of a job to keep them in line, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we start having fear. But going back to that idea of not giving consent, we have to remember that we're also spoon-fed that kind of thing. And then...
Right.
Our parents before us were spoon-fed that kind of thing. So it's not like, well, blame them. There's nobody to blame except the idea that somewhere the thought of separation came in from that pure understanding. Something got separated that said, oh, there's something outside of this.
Right.
And that thing outside of that is dualistic. It's got the opposites and cycles. And like I said before, it comes as a package deal. When you stand there, you get that package.
So when you stand in the belief of being human, it's the whole package.
Yeah, you can't, and we always are trying to just keep the good part of it and throw the bad part of it away, and it doesn't work that way. The only understanding in the science of being is purity, perfection, only in that place. When you go outside of that and you think you are something outside of pure mind, you have the package deal right there. You can't stand there and go, I just want the good part of it, throw the bad part away.
Right.
Because you'd have to throw the whole thing away.
Right.
And really, all that has to happen is the dissolving of that by understanding what is the purity of mind. That starts to dissolve those boxes and those beliefs.
Well, when you were saying that, I was thinking about how that is probably what we tend to do inside the boxes. Think, well, here's the good thing. You know, I liked this about my mom. I didn't like this about my dad. So I'm going to choose the mom side but not the dad side. But you're still, or I like the part of me that's this, but I don't like the part of me that's that. So
yes.
We all have that opposites. But when I think about, when you're talking about signs and symbols, I'm thinking instead of looking at it that way, where we actually own it and we become that, you know, we pick and choose what we're shopping for within the box, so to speak. Instead, I think for me, it's helpful to look at those things and say, well, what's the symbol that, say, my mom's qualities that I like represents? And what are the things maybe my dad's qualities don't? And this is definitely not true. I'm not saying this in actuality, but as an example, what would be the symbols of the qualities that someone you don't like represents? Because all those kind of are like the breadcrumbs from Hansel and Gretel back to truth. It's like those are the symbols that take us back to truth if we translate them back to what they really are.
Yeah.
Outside of the box.
Mm-hmm. And that's understanding. When you take the thing and turn it back into qualities, what it originally is, you have the understanding of what is spirit right there.
Okay, so that is the understanding.
That is the
itself.
Understanding. That's it.
So, but in the beginning, if you're going from belief to faith to understanding, belief, how do you is it faith that gets you to, with, you know, if you're going to analyze it, is it faith that gets you from, I'm stuck in this box, there must be something else? Is that the faith idea that starts taking you out of that?
Well, just like the beliefs and the understanding, it has levels to it. And faith can look like, faith is something that you think of. You go, there's got to be more to it. I may not be able to see it, but I trust that this here is right, or I trust something's going to intervene and make this right. So we're kind of standing in a gray area, it looks like, because we're not really willing to believe that hardcore human sense point of view that says, this is the way it is, period. You go, no, there's got to be something else. And so you have faith in that there is a pure mind, there is a pure intelligence.
Or something else.
Yeah, so you really, you're not standing in understanding when you're doing that. You're standing in faith of, oh, I hope there is, I believe there is. So it's still a little bit like belief,
yeah,
but a little further advanced or more expanded view of it. So you don't just trust the physical senses to give you information. You don't use them to interpret what's going on.
So in a way, you've become aware that there must be more.
Yes.
But then, getting to faith, something, either something internal pushes you to that faith, or something external that happens, and you can't take it anymore inside the padded box, and so you say there's got to be more, and you start going out to faith. But as you said, are there many levels of faith?
Oh yeah, there is definitely levels of faith, because you know there's, it's like Jesus said, well, the faith, your faith cured you, you know, go on, you know, go back to your family where it's healed, it's over with, your faith cured that situation. So there is a very strong faith, and yet it's still not standing in that, because standing in what is pure understanding, there is no sin, disease, death, or anything else like that. There, it just doesn't exist. So when you have faith that, oh, it's going to, I know because you're standing there, I know that this can be healed.
Right.
So you're using another.
So you're actually attaching belief to faith.
Yes, it's a little bit of belief in there going, I know this, I have faith that even though the physical senses say it's impossible, this can't be fixed, I have faith that there's a much deeper understanding and knowing that can take care of this. So you can see that's not really standing in understanding, because standing in understanding, pure understanding, it doesn't even exist out there.
Right.
There is no box, there's no beliefs, there's no human sense.
So that's kind of, so when I think about faith, I think about people, you know, the faith that there is more, and then people get into that level of faith and say, I'm just going to stay here in faith, which doesn't really require any work. In a way, it's just, here's another box called faith. I'm going to hang out in faith because someday something will make me better, or somebody will come along and save me, or when I die, I'll be in heaven. That's kind of a faith that's a belief rather than faith moving to understanding. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, when you think other people have power, but you don't, or you're
yes.
still human, but you have faith that you'll be taken care of in the human.
Right.
And the faith we're wanting to do is the faith that travels you to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That takes you to that next step of working on what is the understanding.
Yes.
It's kind of like when I was thinking about, we were talking about this before, and you were talking about when we went to Monroe and we learned the levels. And without going into that, but the symbol of people walking, going with you and dropping off at different levels because this is the place that they were comfortable. And in many ways in our life, we see people that say, this is as far as I go. I go to from this belief to this belief to this belief, and I go to this level of faith and that level of faith, and they drop off and they're comfortable there until something changes that.
Yeah, so you can look at that also like again, another sign or a symbol is a box. You know, you can go so far in the box and you hit a wall. And that's what we do with that belief system. We can go and go and go until we hit this wall, and then it's like, I cannot comprehend anything past here. And that's where it requires you to step out of the box. And that's, again, what countdowns and silence and inner silence, that's what's that about. That gets you out of the box enough to go, what is going on? What is going on? What is the process here? What are the cycles? What do they look like? So I can be aware of that. Because that's what puts you in the box to begin with.
The not aware?
Not aware. Your awareness has been consumed by something, by a belief system. Something that we can't see that just consumes that awareness and puts us in limitations, puts us in boxes. And then you see all the signs and symbols that continuously point to boxes. I mean, look at the houses we build, and they're in boxes, and then where there's huge residential, they're in rows. They look just like a classroom, and get in your row, and here's your boundary, and you can't go any further than this. And people that live in some of the most beautiful places on the planet, where the weather is great, stay in their house most of the time. Uh-huh. It's just symbolic of get out of the box, or you're in a box. When do you want to come out of it to really look at what's going on, or to have that deeper understanding of things?
Yeah, and people think when they get more money, they can buy a bigger box.
Yeah.
And so they'll have more room to be happy, but they mm-hmm. still have to eventually step outside of the box, the belief system of the box belief system, or what you were saying, boxes, or all those boxes are like minefields.
Yeah, because I have this image where I draw this little point in the corner of a paper. You take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and then up in the left-hand corner, you can draw a little opening that comes in. And it's like, here's where you started, and you have... It's more like pure awareness and clarity. And then as you go out, you start forming these little boxes. And you can put a label on each box: home, work, school, relationship, this. I mean, just keep labeling the boxes. And before long, the whole middle of the paper is filled with boxes.
Yeah.
And then we keep saying things like, well, we have to become one. And then if you look down in the right-hand, bottom right-hand corner, you could say, here is one and pure understanding.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got all these boxes, and really just the appearance and the symbolic appearance of that is, go ahead, try to get all those boxes down into that little, what appears to be a very small place of only one.
Yeah.
And yet when you're in that one, it's infinite. It is so vast. So from that viewpoint, there are no boxes.
Right.
Or if there was anything, it'd be such a small speck, it would be unseeable from there. But when we're in the box, it looks like, my God, look at all these boxes.
Yeah.
And so it's symbolic also. Most of us accumulate a lot of things because, again, that's part of the spoon-fed belief system, is keep getting more stuff and keep focusing on the external.
You'll be happy in your box.
And you'll be happy, and look at all the cool stuff you can have. And,
yeah.
And we get obsessed with that. And then it ties us down. It keeps us out there in those boxes all the time because there's all that conflict and stress within each one of those boxes.
So really, in the oneness, it knows nothing about the boxes.
Not a thing. There is nothing going on like that within oneness. Within that pure mind, it doesn't exist. And it doesn't matter what I've studied. I've studied Native American philosophies and truth, I've studied the Chinese, all this, they say the same thing. When you have that, when you're in that pure understanding, all that stuff disappears. It dissolves. It was never there to begin with. But when you're there, it's just dissolved and gone.
So one thing that people often say, and we're in the habit of saying, is, well, God would know how to fix this, or God will help me. But God, as the understanding of one, doesn't even know the situation that you're in. There's no way.
Yeah.
So really what's fixing it is that we go to that understanding. We go to the understanding of God, not God going to the understanding of our boxes.
Exactly.
That's not possible.
We're trying to stick our head outside of a box and go, why doesn't God help us? And we
that's
mind right there.
Kind of faith.
Yeah, that mind right there created a God. Mm-hmm. That is supposed to come and help the little people in the boxes.
Yeah.
Help me with my problem.
Yeah.
And the true God, the pureness of what is God, is standing there going, there is no problem.
Doesn't
what are you
know
talking
anything.
About? All you have to do is stand here and with me, as me,
yeah.
And you see there's no problem.
Right.
So it's only the little head sticking out of the boxes, like a jack in a box. When's he going to fix me? Why doesn't God help us? And that God was created by... those boxes, that belief system.
Well, that's actually, I think, why a lot of people, when they say they don't believe in God, I totally agree with them. Who would want to believe in that God?
Oh,
geez. That's a horrible God that they've created, that if you're good, you get some good things. If you're bad, you get some bad things, and maybe he'll be here, maybe he won't. That's not a nice person.
And the religions that you know, back that kind of God up, or the religions that were created out of that mindset and that belief system, you know, they've created just about every war in the world. And, you know, they limit the sense, and they say, we have the knowledge. You have to go through us to get that understanding of God. And that is nonsense.
So in a way, that's a symbol of what isn't true.
Yeah.
So that's a symbol, and looking at that and saying, well, the reverse of that is what's true, is there is only God, and I am part of the I mm-hmm. am. I am the action of that I am, and that's all I know. So even when we're in our box and working through this process, if we always have that as the awareness, that's what we're getting to, then it's all, to me, it's always a relief. So no matter what horrible thing I'm trying to work through in my head, I can always go, yeah, but, you know, God doesn't know a thing about this.
Yes.
And I won't someday either, because I'm going to forget all about this, and I'm going to mm-hmm. be out of this belief system, because that's all it is. It's this belief system.
And you notice we'll start catching ourselves saying things more and more as we become more and more aware, just as in be willing, become aware, understand the signs and symbols. You're stepping outside of that box, and you're starting to see things more purely. So you start to monitor what you're thinking yourself and what you're actually saying. And then you'll start catching things like, well, we're working towards that. Now that's actually coming from a belief system of I'm in a box and I'm working toward that oneness. That
right.
That place I see down there in the corner once in a great while.
I'm going to get there someday.
And that's what every religion has said in the world. Every religion falls. We've got to get to one. We've got to get back to one. And one is saying, I never left myself.
Right.
There is nothing outside of myself but me. And I am me, and I am perfect. Always have been, always will be. So when a separation, an idea comes in, it says, oh, there's something outside, it is like that reflection in a mirror. When we look in a mirror, and there's the mirror right in front of us, and we see the reflection of ourself, that reflection doesn't go, hey, how do I get to be one with you? If it did, we'd freak out. What are you talking about?
It's a science fiction story.
You know, yeah. and that's the pure reflection of God looks exactly like God in quality. We can't look for it in objects and in physical sense. If we do, we lose what is that pure quality of God in spirit.
Right.
And so going back to the belief systems, and we're in boxes, and we make, you hear it often. Well, my dad or my mom was like this, so, boy, I'm going to make sure I'm not like that. And they do. Usually people will do that, and so they don't have that, what they consider a bad quality. Mm-hmm. They say, I'm eliminating that. But what we don't realize is if they keep themselves in a box, what looked like a bad quality that way still shows up in a different way.
Yeah.
Because you don't get rid of the package unless you leave the whole package.
Because you just zip to the other side. It's just the opposite of what...
Yeah, you're on it. It's zipping in a different place.
Right.
You know, so you still have the right side, the left side of the box, and whichever side you deem is good, because that changes with every individual in every country, every nation, you know, because you can go anywhere and say, this place believes this is good and true and blah, blah, blah. And then you go to another country and they believe just the opposite.
Right.
So there's no rhyme or reason whatsoever to those boxes. And if we try to make sense out of it, you lose it. You just can't do it. So the only way is to leave the box completely. And the only way to do that is understand what is pureness of understanding and pure intelligence, pure mind, pure love, perfect love.
And starting from the right point. So following the signs and symbol, but starting from the right premise to start with. Because you always talk about the Indians and how they had such an awareness of signs and symbols, but they actually started from a different premise.
Yes. Well, they go within. They are very, pay very much attention to listen within and go deeper within, go deeper within. Now, here's something interesting. They start with the premise there is duality.
Right.
There's physical and spiritual. And so we have to merge the two. Now, from an infinite point of view, from the viewpoint of what is pure understanding, that's impossible. You cannot take something finite and merge it with something infinite.
Right.
It just doesn't work. It's easier to mix oil and water together in their natural state than it doesn't mix. It doesn't go together at all.
So they have great awareness of truth, but they started from the wrong point of view, so it really couldn't take them. We're talking in generalities,
yes. Well, as Mrs. Eddy said, if there's an error in a premise, there will be an error in a conclusion in every statement that is made.
So we always have to start with that in truth, there's only one.
Have to, because that's the truth.
Yeah.
You can't start with an error and expect to end up with the truth.
And even if you don't see how that can be true, even when you don't understand it, you can start back from that belief to faith to get to understanding. So you can say that, and I think that, of course, the human mind doesn't understand that. How could it possibly understand
right.
that?
How could
so
it?
The human mind said, my voice says it, but my human mind doesn't get that at all. So I actually have to go from, I believe that to be true because I've seen science and symbols of its truth, and then I get to the faith that it's true, and then I get to understandings, and that I can hold on to that understanding even when I bong back into a box, because the human can only say the words but not get the understanding. So when you understand it, you are in understanding is what you're saying.
Yes,
actually.
Exactly. That is like the shift. That's what we talk about. And again, that's why another great symbol of a shift is just like the keyboard or your computer or typewriter. You have a key on there. It's called the shift key. What does that key do?
Moves you up.
It moves you up from a small, if you just punch in the letter R, yes, without hitting the shift key, it's a small R. If you punch in the letter I without hitting the shift key, it's a small I. But you can program your word processing software so that when you punch in an I, it automatically changes from a small I to a large I.
Right.
So, you can do that, so that's more true of...
Sooner or later, you don't need the shift.
Sooner or later, you get to that place where you are standing there, and even it is just like Moria Yoshiba, that great martial artist from Japan, they said, wow, your balance is incredible. You never lose your balance. How do you do it? And he said, oh, that's not true. I lose my balance all the time. I just regain it so quickly, you never see it. And it's the same thing with a shift. You can be so aware of, and it's little tiny things after a while that you become aware of that throw you back in a box.
Great.
But you can be out of that box just like that. In a snap, you're back out of there, right back into pure understanding.
I think that's a really big point, because when you've been in the understanding, in any form, whether you're feeling the joy of that understanding or the love of that understanding or the quietness or whatever quality you've experienced, and then you compare that to how you feel when you're in the box, you know that you start hating the box feeling. So instead of like being happy in the box, you start getting really uncomfortable in the box. And then the problem is that sometimes we think it takes a long time to get back to the feeling, when all mm-hmm. it is just shift back to joy. Remember how that joy felt? Go there and leave everything else behind in the box.
Well, it's like Twyla. When I was learning from Twyla Ninja, the Seneca Indians, she used to talk about that a lot, that the main thing they looked for was comfort. They said, if you're comfortable, it's good. It's a good thing to be comfortable. And what they always strived was to ease the discomfort or get rid of the discomfort. And she said, when things were very uncomfortable, there was a lesson to learn from it. So you can take this, it's very symbolic of when you're uncomfortable, which most of us are in those boxes.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, we get uncomfortable about something.
Right.
And we realize, I don't know what to do about it. And that shows the lesson. And Mrs. Eddy talked about it, that, when we're delving in error, and we start with error in the premise, there's mighty wrestlings that have to occur for us to get out of that
mm-hmm.
when we think we're in it so much.
Mm-hmm.
If we stand from that starting point of what is pure mind, that's comfortable right there. That is pure comfort. But we're so used to standing in the other places that we think we always have to fight. But it really is a shift, and it can be an instantaneous shift at any moment mm-hmm. that can get us out of that.
Well, that's an interesting word that she used, comfort, because in the box, that's where we're always striving for, is to be comfortable in the box, to find some kind of comfort in there. And we have lots of ways to do it. This is a silly way, but I remember at one point in my life, I thought it was really great when I traveled a lot and I would go to hotels by myself and I would go get a bag of M&Ms and a People magazine. And that was like comfortable. I mean, I thought that that would give me that comfort. And then after a little while, I went, okay, I'm not feeling comfortable. This is not reaching. This is not making me feel comfortable. So it's a silly symbol, but it was a very clear symbol to me that I wasn't going to find comfort in choosing material ways to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that always is a symbol in my head when I think, oh, am I trying to do that? It's like the M&Ms and People magazine. Nothing wrong with them. But if I'm going to them to find comfort, it's never going to happen. So am I going to do this to be comfortable, some material thing to be comfortable, or shall I just go over to the truth and be comfortable in truth instead? Since you can't find right. comfort in the box.
Right. Very difficult to find comfort in the box.
Although that's where we look.
Yes. And it's... John Hargreaves talked about is the external is starting to crumble. And the external is the boxes and the beliefs that, you know, everything is outside of mind and there's physical objects and we have to find the right thing that helps us be comfortable and be happy. And so we keep striving to find more and more things and find the understanding outside of ourselves, even to the point of, well, I've got to find this person that's got to help me get to that point.
Right.
And so it's all, and that is crumbling more and more. And it's going more and more to the internal, to that within point of view. But you can't take duality with you in that to get to that place.
Right.
And it is going back to the Monroe thing where they talked about, well, we're going to go on levels. And what they did was they said, you're going to travel out of a body. So, again, take it symbolically. You're moving out of a physical sense of who you are and moving out of that and going to these upper levels. As they taught us to go to different levels, what they, you know, referred to as consciousness, they still had numbers to them, and you'd get to a certain level, and then they still had, even though it felt like you're completely out of that sense of what is body and the physical idea,
mm-hmm.
they still had everything structured outside of that that looked just like the physical world. There's classrooms. Oh, you get to this level, you have to go to the garden, and you have to go to this school place.
Right,
and
I remember that.
It was exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're not really getting anywhere with that, except just making it a little more bizarre and mysterious. And then when does the number end? Because, you know, you just go on forever looking for what? Because numbers are infinite, so when do you finally get to that place? So it is the same thing as standing with that, you have that piece of paper with all the boxes, and you see one, and you go, oh, I got to get there, but how am I going to get all these boxes into that place?
How am I going to drag
Plus,
them all
Plus, if you look
me?
At it, there's 6 billion minds that have that page with all the boxes.
Right.
How are all we going to get into that one?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way, because in one, none of that is going on. There is only one. And there's myriad expressions of what is one, and they're all quality. And that's the true substance.
And that's spirit. They're all unique.
Yeah, spirit is substance. So the interesting thing about Monroe was when you, as an individual, an expression of spirit, say, oh, I'm not going to that place of looking for more of the same outside of the physical sense. I'm going to move toward and understand what is pure mind, pure joy. And you just keep going, and the obstacles start coming up. They're mental obstacles.
Right.
They're not physical at all. They appear within your own mind as physical, but they're mental objects, mental obstructions, so you get through them, and some of them are really scary. They start to dissolve. The further away from that idea of physical, they start to dissolve, and they get less and less. And what looks like pure joy is right there. But it always was right there. It is like the deeper within yourself you go when you're doing countdowns and calm and inner silence, the deeper within you go to that place where there is the pureness of inner silence,
mm-hmm.
the higher your altitude of thought is. So it is like you're standing on the planet, and that's the surface. That's kind of like what we have, what looks like our viewpoint from a human sense is you're on the surface of everything. You see everything with the eyes, and you let the eyes and the senses interpret everything. And you get that, you get what you see. And that's all you get. And it's always the same, and it's always opposites, and always cycles, and it just stays on the surface. The deeper within yourself you go, the higher up you get, so that now you don't see physical objects. And so, like before, the sun shines down on the earth, and as you lift up, the clouds disappear and everything. So once you're above all the atmosphere, you have that pure sense of light that's always there. There's no obstruction whatsoever. And it's interesting, as you go deeper within, your altitude of thought goes higher and higher. So it's pure, inspired thought at its highest point. And the highest point is the point it's always at.
It's always been there.
Only belief takes us down to that, where the inner and the outer come down to the surface point where it's two-dimensional. It's good now or it's bad now. It's going to be good later, it'll be bad later. It's up, down, in, out, right, left, black, white, two dimensions.
Well, one of the things, you know, when we're talking about things like Monroe, to me, that's there. If you take it as a literal, this is another place you go to, and blah, 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 then you're just in a different box. But if you take it as a symbol, then you learn all the things that you just talked about.
Exactly.
So, but what I think the human part of us, the thing that thinks us human, loves those mystery stories, those cool things. Let's see, maybe the world was habitated by aliens first. I mean, those are cool stories.
Yep. Phenomenon.
Yeah. Go to the phenomena. The human loves phenomena, loves mystery, loves mystique, loves secrets. And so we come up with these really cool stories that are so much better than the story I was born in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
So we come up with we watch people get stuck in the story as if that story's real, instead of looking at, well, symbolically it's teaching me this. It's the breadcrumb back to the one mind. It's not the place to hang out.
Yes. Yeah, as long as you hang out there, you're going to get more of the same.
Yeah.
And that's what we always do. We hang out there. We expect it to change. And that's that definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different to happen. And that's insane. You can't fix it inside that box. That's where the problem was created, by that sense of separation. And so it's going to stay the same. It might look a little different. It's still going to be the same because you're inside that box.
Now, it doesn't answer anything.
No.
And that's what I think people think. It's going to answer. It's going to give me meaning. And it doesn't.
Or like we said earlier, you look outside the box and you want God to fix it. Or you want that sense of pureness. Would you come in and help me? How can I apply this to my box to make the whole thing inside of my box belief better? And it might help to a little bit, but it's always going to revert right back to what it was because you never left the box.
Yeah. So I could transfer the M&Ms and the Meet People magazine into a symbol of something that's true about God, and that takes me out of the box and may or may not have me eating M&Ms or reading People magazine. But I have to take it out of it. And I think one of the reasons some people really, they hear a story, you know, a cool story, all the many ones that are out there that I read every day. And they stay in that because it reminds me of kind of when I was in theater. And I loved being in theater because when I would go to my theater classes, there were people there like me. We all had this strangeness. We were all a little out there. There were common people. Or when I went to my dance classes, I loved my dance classes because they were all like me. So we had something in common. So I think people end up in stories because they find people that they can relate to, and they don't want to leave that story to go to I'm not in theater and I'm not in dance anymore. I've moved to the qualities of what those mean, and then you find people who are at the place where you are in the moving the breadcrumbs to the one mind. Then you find people who you can relate to because they're becoming more and more the qualities of the one mind rather than staying in the story.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It just
made me think about how often I chose to do things because I felt comfortable with that group of people because they matched the quality, my human qualities that I was enjoying at the time.
Yes.
Which is why I love the shift, because the shift is so many things. We talk about being the place, the process, the state of mind. But it because in that the idea of the shift, you do meet people who are in the shift, who do you do have that community of people who are moving to an understanding and not choosing to stay in the story. So it's actually the place where you find people who do match the qualities of who you really are.
Right.
So one of the things you talked about was silence. Like, how do you get to silence, and that takes you to an attitude, altitude of thought? You go deeper to go higher?
Yes. Well, again, we've done it, and you see the results, or actually you see the evidence of what is spirit. And, you know, you hear countless stories over and over about it just happens. As you go deeper within yourself to that, you know, that pure place, things change. Things just automatically change, and things happen that just seem inconceivable. And that's part of the new understanding that, going back to Twilight Niche and the Seneca Indians and the Iroquois Confederacy and their prophecies talk about a fifth world. And again, look at it symbolically. If you take everything literally, you get lost in the symbols, and then you try to cling to a symbol.
Yeah.
And the Chinese have said over and over, when you cling to the symbol, you have lost the principle. Uh-huh. You only go to the symbol until you understand the principle behind it. Then you let go of the symbol. Otherwise, you're being redundant, and then you're staying in a box.
I love that what they said about symbols.
Yes. So anyway, with Twyla talking about, you know, the symbols and the going within, and then the new understanding that is going to come about as a result of this new world, this next world coming up, again symbolically, a new way of looking at things. And of course, to a human point of view, it would look like a new way of looking at things. But when you're in pure understanding, it is the only way to look at things, because it's the only truth going on, it's the only substance. So the new understanding that she's talking about, she said, in the new understanding, we'll see with new eyes. The new eyes, what they will see is no disease, no sickness, no death, no sin, and everything will be pure. Now, the only way you can have that understanding is to stand in pure understanding, which means there is no duality. That's out. That's it dissolves into what it is, nothing.
Well, you were telling me about your favorite story about innocence, which is really what you're talking about, is standing in that pure understanding about the woman who was...
Yeah, that's a John Hargreaves story. What is that story?
She stole money, or how did that work? But she didn't attach to it.
Well, Hargreaves knew this lady in London. I'm going to find that story and just read it. How about that? That sounds like a good thing to do, doesn't it?
Sure. Sounds like a really good thing to do. So what the good thing about that story, I think, is that it talks about us not attaching ourselves to the beliefs about ourselves.
Yeah, it's like when we stay in that box, you know, you get everything that goes with it. You get the good stuff, the consequences of not doing the right thing, you know, because, again, it's in the box. And we think if we've done something wrong, then we keep feeling guilty, and we somehow end up punishing ourselves some way.
Over and over again.
And the nice part about this story is it shows when you identify with that, of course you get it. And you'll get it and get it and get it. When you stop identifying with that, inconceivable things will happen, and you won't find yourself there at all anymore. Mm-hmm. So the story goes like this. It's someone he knew in England who worked in a store, and it was a store where she had to handle money. She had found science, and as she studied, the new understanding began to change her life. So again, there's that idea of a new understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, again, willing, become aware,
uh-huh.
You start to see there's a new way to understand something,
uh-huh.
Which is the only understanding.
Right.
Well, physical problems disappeared. She met a man whom she soon married. They had a happy home. A baby was on the way. and then everything seemed to crash. She was found stealing money and instantly dismissed from her job. The base of trust and respect in the home was shaken. Their income, now that she was without work, was insufficient to maintain their home. She had a miscarriage, and the clouds appeared to have no silver lining at all.
Now, and she must have felt terrible because she really started to understand what God was, and yet she stole money, which we're all tempted to do.
And things anybody like that. That's been in the box of human sense has been through something where you felt and things just seemed to crash. And Well, anyway, she came for a talk and was reminded of the inherent sinlessness of her divine nature, which had never been imbued. While it was made clear that sin and its punishment went hand in hand, it was always a matter of an error destroying itself and not of a person paying a penalty. So again, that goes back to what Mrs. Eddy talks about in error. Once error is uncovered, it destroys itself. That's the only thing true about anything that looks like outside of mine, is if it's error and it's uncovered, it's going to destroy itself and disappear and dissolve.
So for God's sake, don't.
So don't
hang on to it.
Don't identify with the error. Don't keep going.
It's destroying itself.
You know. So anyway, though no repetition of this error could be countenanced, the punishment could last only so long as the identification with the sin and sinner remained. The punishment ceases when there is nothing to punish it, and it is the error and not person that merits it. So shortly after this talk, she was telephoned by the manager of the store and was offered not only a new job with increased responsibility, but also a large sum of money to compensate her for what they felt to have been an unfair dismissal. And this was, spiritually speaking, true, for there was nothing in the real man to be accused. And again, that's going to the pure understanding of what is man. Man is pureness. He is the reflection of what is perfect love, perfect mind. So once the complete association from the sin and sinner was acknowledged, there was no penalty and no one to pay it. Harmony was restored in the home.
Well, that's something that most people would say that's not possible. You did do wrong. You stole the money.
Exactly. That's what we do. And that's what keeps us in the identifying with the situation, the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We keep going through that in our head. Oh, God.
Well,
I deserve this.
Oh, yeah.
And we're identifying with the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean, well, just like this lady, after that, a sense of harmony was restored in the home, a new baby arrived, and some understanding of the true nature of love and absolution was gained. And that, again, is that new understanding. Mm-hmm. When you stand there, stop identifying with what that problem, that whole mess is out there.
Yeah.
And even the good of it, it's like Mrs. Eddy talked about, even the good of human character has to be shed.
Yeah.
You can't hang on to that part. Yeah, because with that part goes the other part.
Right.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
And it's finite. It's very limited. It's got walls all over the place, bars, everything else. And we think, I'll lose who I am because just the idea, if I become one, I would lose who I am. No, actually, it enhances who you are, because you're not expressing yourself completely, as this right here, this quality of God that is being expressed.
While you're in the box.
While you're in the box, you can't, because you've got all these boundaries.
Yeah.
Out of the box.
Well, how often do we see that, where we know who they really are, we are looking at them, you can see, actually, the way it is you look, when we work with people, we see, depending on how boxed in they are, sometimes you can actually see who they really are because it's kind of leaking out the door. They do something that points it out so you can, there it is, and then they run back in the box.
Right, right.
And then slowly the box starts dissolving, and then they start being able to see who they really are because it allows that expansion. So when your picture of the page with all those boxes, if you were, of those boxes were dissolving away from you, then you would obviously be taking up the whole page with the one instead of like squished down into little, I'm going to express my uniqueness by how I turn on the TV.
Unless we keep the human sense while we're looking at those boxes and go, oh, I got to get rid of these boxes.
Yeah. Instead, you just...
What you're doing is probably behind you, you're developing about 100,000 more boxes.
Yeah.
But you can't see them because you're only looking in front of you. And you go, oh, I got to get rid of these boxes. The only way to get rid of the boxes is to stay in this pure understanding. It is like the story of Tom Brown when he was taught by a Native American Apache Indian who knew about the veils, what he called the veils.
Mm-hmm.
And the veils is the same thing as going within to that deepest, pure understanding. And he said, you can get to that place. But he said, right now you don't believe you can because you've been told there's no place like that.
Right.
So he said, that's the only thing keeping you from standing in that place. And he said, in that place is absolute pure understanding. And there is no physical things going on, and there's no violence or anything going on there. And this guy had this predicament where he was forced to, I got to get to that place. Because he said he was out in the woods, there was a pack of dogs coming. He could hear them. He knew the awareness of, you know, he knew dogs. He lived in a place where that went on a lot up in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
So there was packs of dogs all over the place up there. Well, he heard the dogs coming, and he realized, I have no place to go. There were no trees to climb. There was nothing. He was out in the open, and he was very vulnerable. And he said, they're the worst thing you can come across in the woods is a pack of wild dogs. So he said, I had no choice. And he said, I knew I had to get out of there, and I couldn't. So he said, I went into the veil. He said, I'd never done it before. But he said, I sat down, and I just started to feel that essence of going deep within myself. And he said, it just happened. He said, I don't remember anything. He said, I opened my eyes, and he said, there were no dogs, no nothing. And yet tracks all around him. He said, there was dog tracks all around, going all around that exactly where he was sitting.
Yeah.
Never touched him.
They probably couldn't see him.
Couldn't see him, and he couldn't see them.
Right. Cause
so it's a little bit of a symbol and a sign of, yeah, when you do that, you're not there anyway, you know, in the pureness of what it is.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is, you know, it's understandable that we're working from a place where it looks like we have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the something to do is go within yourself and go into more of an inner silence. And Don Juan talks about it. The Chinese, the Taoists have talked about it for centuries and centuries. You go within. You go into the inner silence. It reverses the process of what is human sense. It gets rid of and dissolves the wandering, stirring mind, and it just keeps the shining mind, which they refer to as the Tao or
right.
the one mind, right there.
Yeah.
And that's the only place there is.
Well, I love that story. I love it, that idea of the bird flying into the sun can't be seen. When you fly to truth, you can't be seen. You're actually safe in truth because anything that's not truth can't see you anymore.
Yeah.
And as you said, you can't see it anymore. You're in a different place altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tell that story, I'm thinking he actually made that transfer. He went from belief to faith to understanding. So he believed it was possible. He had faith that it was possible.
Yes, and he had faith in some individual named Stalking Wolf who said, yeah, this is done. This is...
And that is the beginning of it, mm-hmm. often, is that you have faith. And someone else looks at you and says, you're more than that. And I can show you how to get out of there. So you have faith that they can. And all of us have had people that have seen who we are when we didn't have a clue and showed us the path to another place.
And because of that, you know, that brings up that idea of comfort again. We are so used to being in these boxes of belief that we have got a certain sense of comfort, a certain level of what is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a false comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because we're so used to it.
It's the M&M comfort.
When you step out of that, it doesn't feel the same at all.
Right.
And so it appears like it takes a while, but as you go deeper and deeper within yourself, as one individual said, you start seeing more and more of the sparks of what are truth, and then you act on those sparks, and the more you act on what you have from in that place, the more comfortable it becomes to the place where, wow, this is an infinite comfort.
Yeah.
And then that outside picture starts to dissolve.
And it can't even be put into words, the difference between the M&M comfort and real comfort.
Oh, my God, it can't be. To experience what is pure joy, there are no words, absolutely no words that can describe what it is. It just, there aren't any.
So if someone's never experienced that, they can have faith that it's possible for them to get there. And they will get there if they follow the signs and symbols that's already leading them. Everybody has breadcrumbs leading them to the one.
Yeah, it'll look similar to that journey of going further and further out to the point where all the physical stuff and the obstacles dissolve, and there you are. You're mm-hmm. in pure joy,
mm-hmm.
and that you never left.
Yeah,
all these things just keep clouding up around us, and all the spoon-fed stuff and the boxes and the stuff, and keep looking outside of yourself, and that's all that's there, just keeping you from seeing and feeling and understanding what that is.
So back to what we started from, that the belief that we're human hides the truth.
Yes.
And we're following signs and symbols to get back to that understanding that there's only one.
Yeah.
So is that a good place to finish up for today?
I think it's a good place to finish up. When Jesus told his disciples, you'll be able to handle serpents.
Yes.
Well, the serpents are those subtle falsities that keep us locked into that false sense of what is life and reality. So you learn how to handle the serpents, and those are those thoughts that we become more and more aware of that keep us in that box. As we become aware of the thoughts, we go, like the Chinese, eliminate those thoughts, replace them with what is the true thought.
That replacement therapy we talked
yes.
about. Well, that's perfect. So next time we'll talk more about signs and symbols, but that'll give us plenty to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Breadcrumbs, zip lines, levels of faith, boxes, and more boxes, and how the shift key on our computer will continue to remind us to shift up. Just a few things we talked about on this podcast. If you are craving more about signs and symbols, not to worry, there is a second half. Watch for it by subscribing to the Shift the Story podcast either on iTunes or at theshift.com, or both places. That way you will also receive the Shift e-zine. As always, I thank you for rating this podcast on iTunes and for your comments at theshift.com and your reviews on iTunes. I appreciate every one of them. It feels like a gift each time I see a share, a review, a star, or a comment. Here's your Shift hack for today. We are never without a guide in this journey. Signs and symbols are always with us to lead us where we need to go. Take the time to translate them back to their original language, spiritual direction. Till next time, let's keep shifting the story together.